go, Raymond. Let's go.
Yeah!
Hey, hello, and welcome to Unbought and Unbossed, Canadian political news and views. This is show number 120. Today is May the 6th, 2009. Unbought and Unbossed is an independent voice dedicated to presenting and discussing the political and social issues most relevant to Canadian citizens. This show contends that 9/11 is Canada's single most important issue, because the self-inflicted attacks of 9/11 are being used as the justification for the current overthrow of our democratic and sovereign nationhood, turning Canada into a corporate-driven plutocracy. The official story of the 9/11 terror attacks and the ensuing war of terror are deeply troubling and are at the forefront of this radio program. I strongly encourage listeners to question what you think you know about today's world events and to analyze the motives behind our traditional news sources. Each week, new segments of Unbought and Unbossed offer further evidence for these incredible claims, which are either omitted or distorted by the mainstream corporate media. Turn your television off. You are being lied to and conditioned to accept this madness as our inevitable future. We must work to return the future of the human race to its rightful owners. That's you. Our ignore it and maybe it will go away on its own mentality is killing us. It has to end now. It is high time to wake up and to educate, to learn to work together, and to find the courage to act on our love for one another. Our every freedom is at stake in this battle for truth and accountability. The prize is nothing less than the health of our collective human soul. The revolution has begun. I suggest you find your role. Thank you, Bruce Coburn, as always. Actions speak louder. That's going to be followed by DJ Shadow and Ashley McIsaac. What do we have for you today? Busy, busy show. I've got a couple interviews, one in the first hour, one in the second. Lots of bits and pieces in between. We'll see how time goes. The first interview is Dr. Bill Deagle. And he was just confirmed a couple hours ago to be on tonight's show for the first time. Well, who is Dr. Bill Deagle? And then I'll tell you what we're going to be talking about with him. Well, he is a whistleblowing physician, and he has a radio show, The Nutramedical Report. It's on the Genesis Communications Network, GCNlive.com, 5 days a week, 12 to 3 Pacific time. His website is Nutramedical.com. This little blurb comes from his radio website. Says that Dr. Bill Deagle dissects the lies between the current push to cultural acceptance of designer babies, embryo harvesting, and animal-human hybrids, as well as euthanasia, which is on demand from the state and corporations, as well as transhuman cyborg technology, implantable mind control chips, the national and global ID plans with specific documented technical details. The Nutramedical Show unveils the secrets behind the genetic nutritional science and advanced evidence, which is based on medical wellness. So there we are, Bill Deagle. I listened to him speak at the 2006 or 2007? My, how time flies. The 9/11 conference in Vancouver. Quite impressive. I'm quite sure Bill Deagle was talking about the evidence that says that there was mini nukes used to help blow up the trade towers, as well as the Dr. Stephen Jones was also there talking about thermite. So there we are, a couple doctors talking about the different ways that they blew up the Twin Towers on 9/11. So now what we're going to be talking about with Bill Deagle is this current swine flu problem. It's not looking good. I'm seeing the fear tactics in our media, and it seems as if they're kind of practicing and stretching the limits of the police state. They're, you know, inching it forward to make, you know, it's kind of the totalitarian tiptoe, some would call it. So that's what I believe this flu is about. And I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, but I believe that Bill Deagle suggests that he will be have evidence before too long, whether it's days or weeks, to suggest that this swine flu virus is made in a lab. Yes, indeed. And, well, that really shouldn't be too surprising. You know, if we look at, again, 9/11, the anthrax that was used to frighten the American Congress people into passing the Patriot Act, it's really nothing new, is it? Okay, so in the second hour, we're going to be listening or speaking with Michael Fullerton. And he is with Canada's newest 9/11 Truth Group. They are out of Vernon. Michael is their webmaster. And he is in Vernon. And our topics tonight, we're going to, well, be looking at a couple things. But one is the psychopath mindset that one must have to, you know, consciously work to imprison the human race, as is going on, you know, to help out that very small percentage of the people at the top of the global power and influence pyramid. So that's, you know, as well as torture. How is it that we can get regular, you know, law-abiding, decent people to go and do some really hideous things to people that have been demonized? So what happens, what needs to happen in order to tear someone down and build them back up into being a killing machine that, you know, that turns them into psychopaths, you know? So that will be an interesting conversation. And another thing really fascinating about this this website, Vernon911Truth.org, the front page, it's rather simple, but it's brilliant in that it has four photographs that, you know, according to myself, and I'm going to guess Michael as well, that, you know, prove that the official 9/11 story is a lie. You know, for pictures alone can debunk this story really well. And what Michael has done with the Vernon 9/11 Truth site is four simple pictures. One is the missing planes. You know, there's not one at the Pentagon, and there's not one to be seen in Shanksville either, so that's a bit of a problem. Two missing planes, as well as the short video clip of Building 7 falling into itself. So there's, I guess, a video, it's not a picture. And then the fourth one is, you know, just the obvious expulsion of bits of the building as it's being blown up. But, you know, it is being blown up. There's most of the building turned into, you know, dust. Very small bits and pieces of what used to be people. And then the rest, there were some really large pieces that got thrown into buildings across the street, didn't it? Well done. If you have a chance, you want to check that out, that's Vernon911Truth.org. We'll be speaking to Michael in the second hour. There is a lot to... That right there seems like a full show, but let me see if there's some other things that we may or may not get to. No, I'm going to leave it at that. What we get to and what we don't get to, we'll leave it at that.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
So, what does that mean we're going to do? I need to get to Little Piggy Song. That's right. Pigs by Pink Floyd. I guess that one's dedicated to Brian. Well done. So I want to thank the sponsors of CHLY and the Unbought and Unbossed show. First off to Bernie at Seaview Automotive. If you want to get a hold of an independent mechanic, you can reach him at area code 250-753-2953. That's Bernie at Seaview Automotive. Also, thank you to Michael at Hornby Island Painting. I phoned Michael and asked him if he wanted me to read his phone number, but he didn't get back to me. So if you want to call this exact second, Michael, that would work. If not, so there we are. That's two business sponsors, new business sponsors to CHLY. We just had our fun drive 2 weeks ago. Thank you to everyone who made a pledge, and an extra thank you to everyone who paid on their pledge. You know, come through on the second half. That's the important one. But thank you. CHLY did quite well. Oh, someone's calling. I wonder who that is. Let's find out. Oh, CHLY, you're on air. Hello?
Oh, it's Michael.
Hey, Michael. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm a supper here.
Good. So, Michael from Hornby Island Painting, thank you for supporting CHLY, supporting this show, and that water bottle that you got for me 2 weeks back. Fantastic.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're no longer drinking from reused plastic.
Yes. Well, you know, as bad me I am tonight. I haven't broken my habit yet. I know. It's terrible.
What I found out recently is that the due dates on plastic containers is actually for the plastic. not for the contents.
No kidding.
Yeah, so wow. Get rid of that plastic bottle now.
Right. Thank you. So would you like to have your phone number to your business?
Well, that wasn't my understanding, so I'm okay with you not.
Okay.
That's what Dylan told me.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought we were allowed to give a phone number out.
Well, you can if you want, but they dropped the price this year to $150, and they weren't going to give out anything more than the business mention. And I said,
oh.
I wrote back, so that's okay. Fine with me.
Okay, well, I've got to confirm that then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for straightening me out on that, and I'll double check with.
Check with Dylan, and thank you for all the hard work you do setting up this show. It's not just the 2 hours we hear on the radio; it's all the hours in behind. Talking to the people and getting information, so thank you.
I appreciate that, and yeah.
Respect is due for Raymond. Thank you very much.
All right, partner. Well, again, you know, you clearly seem to know the importance of independent media, and that's what I'm trying to give you, so.
Well, yeah, I'm at a job site right now, and I can't pick up 101.7, but I'm picking up a commercial station, I don't know where, from 101-something. And all they play is liberal attack ads for the upcoming election.
Okay.
So I'm seeing how media does affect, and it's not independent when it's like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. Thank you. I'm going to have to let you go. Going to try to get Bill Deagle on. Are you familiar with Bill Deagle?
No, but I got my notebook ready.
Okay, nice. He's a bit of a brainiac, so get ready out there.
Okay, I'll be ready.
Yeah. Right on, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Okay, that's kind of fun. So what we're going to do now, it is the election coming right up, and I have a real short piece concerning the single transferable vote referendum that we're going to have. And, oh, someone's phoning. Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. This is Dr. Bill Deagle calling in.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to call you, so thank you very much. Yes, I'm a couple bit minutes later than I had wanted to be, but... So thank you for calling in. I have introduced yourself as well as the topic, which I'm hoping we can keep a focus on, is this swine flu nastiness. And I'm really suspicious of what I'm seeing in the media. And, you know, in 1976, something very similar happened. And, you know, the government was pushing poisons, which actually killed far more people than the actual swine flu of that time. So welcome to the show. Can you... perhaps give a brief bio of how you fit into this, and if you can, I guess, talk to our listeners and kind of fill up this swine flu thing up to now where we're at.
Sure. I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD. I've been in practice for a third of a century. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, but I was raised in Canada, so I'm a dual citizen. The last half of my career, I've been primarily practicing in the U.S., in Georgia, Illinois, and Colorado, and now I live in California.
Okay.
I did research in marine bacteriology and infectious disease before I went into medicine. And since being an occupational doctor for many years, I've also worked with the government here in the United States with Operation Top Off and Dark Winter. And also have a background in immunotoxicology, radiation toxicology, and pandemic preparedness through Operation Top Off and Dark Winter and other, I say, work or consulting with the government.
Okay.
The situation right now, there's a lot of disinformation and a lot of five-minute pundits that think that they have an opinion that they need to foist on the public. If they don't have scientific qualifications, they really should be silent. It really isn't a swine flu. The best description, if you look at the genetics of this, is it's a Frankenstein flu.
Okay.
It's a piece together. If you actually look at the genes, and I've been going over them with Alexander S. Jones, an NIH whistleblower, and other scientists. And when you run the gene, what's called a burst analysis, which matches up the DNA codon sequences, what you find is that 8% of the DNA doesn't match with any other virus grouping or database on the planet. So this virus has been put together in a lab.
Okay.
It is originating from the HA or hemagglutinin gene, the PB2 or polymerase B2 gene, and the non-surface or NS protein, the NS1 gene, are all literally collected from, it appears, different chunks of DNA from different organisms such as turkey, pigs, humans, Asian flu. There's pieces all over the place. It's like this is back engineered on a supercomputer and then produced on a bioengine and then generated. So
okay.
It's not a normal virus. It is an H1N1, and the danger comes similarly to 1918. And what happened in 1918 is they were making a typhus vaccine, and they were passing the vaccine through pigs. They thought it would help them pass it through pigs to amplify the vaccine and create it. And when they did, the pig virus or pig flu combined with human flu, and the recombination was pathogenic.
Okay.
The virus also continued to mutate, and if there's a defective, what's called polymerase B gene, it doesn't replicate the RNA of the virus very well, so the virus starts to churn out copies that aren't exactly perfect copies. Some of those are not perfect copies, and this is not mutation, it's really a what's called a bad replication rather than a mutation.
Okay.
So we call this a drift, where there's actually error in the copying can create new strains that can be very lethal. They can change the three-dimensional structure. They can make it replicate a lot faster. They can make it also more likely to recombine with other viruses and pick up other lethal genes. Currently at the tail end of the North American and Northern Hemisphere, there's been a human H1N1 flu that's been virtually resistant to Tamiflu, which, by the way, you don't want to take because it also contains hallucinogens in it that are virtually identical to angel dust.
Wow.
Now, angel dust is a hallucinogen that's well-known on the streets of Vancouver and Lower Mainland. This I learned from being a resident in internal medicine back in the late 70s. At the Vancouver General Hospital.
Hmm, okay.
We had lots of angel dust deaths and had the unfortunate role of being internal medicine resident, pronouncing a lot of people dead from these toxic escapades with the, I call it recreational drugs, that's W-R-E-C-K, recreational or deconstruction drugs.
There you go.
So the number one, we've established that this virus is created in a lab. It is a bridge virus, which means it's going to recombine with the current flu, especially as we head into winter in South America. It's likely to create, but there's a theory called dynamic viral evolution, that when viruses that are similar recombine, they always select for the more lethal or pathogenic substrains that emerge, which means it's going to swap genes and get more deadly. So as it does this, we're already noticing strains. We have a report that's posted up on my website, which is NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com, and just in the last few days, of a Chihuahua province, Mexico, 17-year-old who's recovering from flu after a few weeks of having it, and then went backwards. Only when he started to go backwards with his flu, his symptoms were he started having convulsions for a couple of days, and then he suddenly died, which means it was growing in his brain.
Okay.
Where this young teacher, 33-year-old teacher in Texas that was pregnant, heard Sanjay Gupta's incorrect report that her immune system was depressed because she was pregnant. There's no time when your immune system is stronger than when you're pregnant, so that's a lie.
Now, she was the first death in the States, is that correct?
Yeah, first death in the States.
Yeah.
Now, what's happening is we have reports, and I've been I'm going to be on the radio show tonight, actually, with Victor Camacho in the East L.A. We broadcast to most of the major Hispanic countries.
Okay.
And we're going to be translated by Alexander Bachman, and we'll bring on this NIH whistleblower. So that show will be broadcast this evening. The fact is that we have reports now at the Juarez Hospital in Mexico that there's probably 1,000 dead already, and that's of last week, that there are dead doctors and nurses, that other hospitals like the Respiratory Intensive Care Hospital there in Mexico City is having, as of last week, was having 10 people dead a day from it. They're trying to lie and say that there's only a limited number of cases and that there are no new mutations. Now, we got the data from the genetics, and we found out that there's a number of genetic changes, especially on the PB2 gene and on the HA gene, the hemagglutinin gene, that there are changes that are completely only present in Mexico.
Okay, so you're saying it's mutating or joining up with other viruses?
Well, it may not be joining up. It could be just incorrect replications. But as it recombines between this H1N1, what I call Frankenvirus, and the H1N1 human flu, you're going to see new recombinants that are going to emerge and be more deadly.
Okay.
Which means they probably are going to acquire capacities to grow in brain tissue, cause more serious cytokine storms, strike the people with the strongest immune systems, and overwhelm them.
Hmm.
It's just like 1918. People get on the subway system in New York City and would be perfectly well. When they get on, 45 minutes later, they would be deader than a doornail.
Wow.
So I expect this virus to continue to change. The word mutate is not really correct. It's, how can I say, incorrectly replicate, recombine, and develop acquired drug resistance, which is all the H1N1 is completely resistant of the human flu to Tamiflu, ranitidine, and amantadine. So chasing this with a vaccine is stupid and it's useless. Trying to chase it with a drug, Tamiflu, is also useless.
Okay, so what do we? I mean, you're painting a dark picture here. What?
Oh, there's simple things that can be done. The first thing is number one, the border should have been closed immediately.
Okay.
Number two, all aircraft should have a viral filter, a hepatite viral filter,
okay,
a nanofilter, so that they could then take each aircraft and put that air filter in a biohazard bag, sterile biohazard bag, and go off to a certified federal lab to test for viruses and find out the genetics of the virus.
Okay.
And they should track anybody and actually call them twice a day, and in, if necessary, have teams go to examine people with proper biohazard body suits on, et cetera. Take swabs, not just one day, but multiple days after they've traveled to areas of high danger. People should consider the idea of wearing masks in public, during, especially if they travel to areas that may be dangerous, airports or open areas, because this virus can replicate in you for 8 to 10 days, and you can be shedding virus, not even getting sick, and then all of a sudden it overwhelms your immune system.
Okay,
when this breaks out, it's not if, when this virus breaks out, whether it's a few months or the fall or winter, which is likely to happen, it's going to start taking out probably people with some of the strongest immune systems, because that'll be the tripwire that'll actually cause them to die.
Now that would be the opposite of what I would have assumed.
Yeah. Well, the reason is because the non-surface protein, the changes in it, in, say, the avian flu, allow it to overwhelm the immune system because it bypasses the alarm called the interleukin 4, and we see similar changes starting to happen in this virus, especially around amino acid 92 on the non-surface protein or NS gene. So the second thing people should do is they should build up their own host defenses.
And how
we
do
don't
that?
Talk about these as being cures. We talk about hygiene, host defenses, and a prevention of viral attachment to your cells to prevent a primary infection.
Okay.
So I've seen this coming and knew it was going to come from 12 years ago when I received documents when I spoke in Zurich, Switzerland, for the Board of Human Rights International in Zurich against the Super Soldier Program, fetal tissue transplant research, and advanced abortion. And after my talk, they gave me documents on three projects. One was a special virus project in which they could manufacture the AIDS virus by recombination of bovine and vicinovirus, et cetera, DNA to create a new supervirus, which is carried as an RNA virus in mycobacteria, supposedly caused immune failure and cancer, but in fact caused AIDS. And this was race-selective bioweapon that was more likely to kill if you're black by 16 times.
Okay.
The second project was project for creating a plasmid, which was inserted into a vaccine for tetanus, and it would create antibodies against the placenta so that women would spontaneously miscarriage. And the vaccine was given in sub-Saharan Africa to reduce the population and cause spontaneous abortion. So the third project was the pandemic virus project, where they had exhumed fragments of the viral genome of H1N1 human recombinant swine flu, from 1918 from dead whalers that were in the permafrost in Alaska. And through the Center of Disease Control and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, USAMRID, funded by the United Nations and the World Health Organization to resurrect the virus, and then add other genes to then spray it over Asia and create the avian flu, which genetically was changed from the H5N1 of 1971 typed in Edinburgh, Scotland, and to create a pandemic. And the virus is now, of course, the H5N1 has spread to every continent. It's very lethal to birds. And occasionally there's clusters where it affects humans and those in very close contact. The reason why the Chinese have quarantined around 79 people now, even if you sound Mexican, but you're not even from Mexico, but you come from Chicago or some other place,
right,
they quarantine them because they know that if they carry this virus and it gets in their population and spreads, it'll bridge or allow these H5N1 that's all over their vast country jump into humans and kill hundreds of millions of Chinese.
All right, okay.
So what we're looking at is almost certainly a second and third wave that will be very nasty this fall and winter. And then maybe 1 to 3 years from now, we're looking at a generation of a super virus that will kill billions if they don't stop it cold as it is now.
Hmm.
So building up host defenses, things that will kill the virus on contact, and we do have those. I have a first line defense kit. We have Neutrodyne, Super Silver, and Alamed. And we have, of course, the technologies like the Sinupulse that can irrigate the sinuses and do inhalation therapy so that if you're in a high-danger area and you've been exposed to someone coughing that carries a virus, you can reduce the chances of a primary infection.
Okay.
So people don't need to panic over this. If you take simple things, the nutrient defense, you can block the virus from attaching. If you're taking, we did research in animal studies in labs in Brazil and elsewhere with the super silver, which is not like any other silver. It robs 2 electrons from the pathogen and it'll kill at a distance, so it has technologies in it that are not the same as any other silver. We proved as little as a teaspoon 3 times a day in an adult will give a protective envelope, if you want to call it, so the virus can't invade. When we add some of these other antipathogenics, and we have 3 major ones, like Neutrodyne diatomic iodine, which is not like any other iodine, custom made for us in Texas, and our Alamed, which we import from the UK, medical grade Allicin that is administered as a drug in Europe and the UK, but it's a stabilized Allicin. It'll attach to all pathogens, viruses, bacteria, Lyme, parasites.
Now, is this something you would drink or inhale? Or
you can do either. We have the liquid, we have the capsules, we have all the kinds of forms. There's no reason for people to be dying of this, but they want to prevent a primary infection by good hygiene, and they want to build up their what we call their secondary defenses. The problem is that they need to have good case tracking. They need to have open source information so people can key in their symptoms in a central database. We need to have teams of people that can come out and swab people and do viral testing rapidly and find out if they have influenza A and then subtypes of genetics.
You're making it sound like China is taking this as serious as it maybe it should be. And
China is actually right on the money.
Yeah.
China is the only country that's actually taking this seriously because they know from dealing with the SARS, which was, by the way, SARS or the coronavirus, which sped from Hong Kong to Toronto, Ontario, Canada, that this was a very usually indolent virus, but it became very deadly. And it was particularly deadly for Asian people. And so they're concerned that if the H1N1 virus got into their population, it would really wreak havoc to their population, and it certainly could.
Mm-hmm.
It would act as a bridge to allow these genes that can't affect humans, these H1N1 viruses, to jump across and start infecting humans at an enormous pace with an average case fatality rate around 70%. So 70% of those that get it, these high pathogenic strains of H5N1 die.
Okay.
Right
okay.
Now, the 1918 pandemic was only 2.5%. to 3% death.
Hmm.
So this could be, if we had even though a virus H1N1 that would return at 2 or 3% this fall or winter, it would shut everything down. And more people, according to our war game simulations we did with the U.S. federal government, and I worked with them directly, more people would die of violence and starvation than of the virus.
Hmm. Okay. I guess anarchy you're talking about.
Yeah, major anarchy.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned earlier about spreading perhaps aerial. Now, that made me think of chemtrails. Is there a connection between what the secret people are putting on us? Is there a
That's a very big topic. I've had Dr. Karim Karshu, pathologist for the U.S. Army, who's analyzed the chemtrail material with photomicrographs. We've had Dr. Michael Castle, a polymer chemist. We've had people on, like Clifford Carnicom, on the chemtrails. Chemtrails are three different projects. The high-altitude project is at 73,000 to 80,000 feet. It's putting nanoparticles up to create a radiomagnetic mirror for weather modification and changing the albedo, or the reflective coefficient of the Earth.
Now, that's perhaps aluminum dust? Is that what
aluminum and barium nanoparticles. And these are, by the way, barium nanoparticles are 10,000 more times more toxic than lead.
Huh.
But what they do is they spread out in a laminar flow, and they don't fall in a few weeks. They take 3.5 to 5 years to fall to the ground.
Okay.
What happens, though, is the middle range below that is there's higher altitude weather modification to change cloud formation and to change weather. And the low altitude is usually dispersal of biologicals, things that will affect the population, biological dispersion experiments, and insertion of pathogens. We've seen and done tests on them, and we found some very strange things, toxigenic mold, mycobacteria, Pseudomonas florensis, all kinds of very strange things, including the Morgellons pathogens.
Yeah, there was a recent news piece out of, I think it's Northern Florida, a news piece covering chemtrails. I was quite impressed with that. Anyways, they're talking, I think barium and arsenic were two of the chemicals found in that test.
Yeah, those are found, we've actually analyzed them. They are present, and we've had statements now by Obama that he wants to talk about geoengineering. There's a congressional department for it. Even in the Canadian government, they've said openly in Parliament that they, think that they need to, quote, geoengineer the climate of the Earth. Hmm. And, of course, it's a scam that there's global warming caused by human activity. The volcanoes on Earth, both under the oceans and on land, generate thousands of times more, quote, greenhouse gases. And the primary toggle gas is actually nitric oxide. We've had a top scientist on a few months ago on the show. And nitric oxide regulates the destruction of carbon dioxide and other gases, but they're not the primary greenhouse gases anyway. The most primary greenhouse gas is actually water vapor, which we are in control of.
Huh.
95% of the greenhouse effect is water vapor.
Huh. Okay.
So this is a scam because the government, the people are doing this to the governments, the corporations and the plants in the government that believe in the carbon tax.
Mm-hmm.
Are simply trying to control the population and to put in an agenda for carbon credits and carbon taxes to control the economies of the world and to shut off the tap. So then the next thing is, of course, population reduction, which is why this virus was invented and developed for specific reasons to reduce the population.
Okay. Now, you were mentioning that it, or did you say this, that it's more likely to prove fatal to someone whose immunity system appears quite healthy?
If it evolves similar, we expect it to evolve similar in the next, say, 3 to 6 months plus as the swine flu of 1918. That, if it does do that, it'll tend to cause a cytokine storm, which is a release of your immune reactants in your white cells, and it's more vigorous than someone who has a very strong immune system. So unless they take nutraceuticals to temper that or to prevent a primary infection, they're more likely to die than someone that actually has a slightly reduced immune system.
Yeah.
So it targets people between age 20 and 45, adults, rather than the very young or old.
Right, right. You were just about to talk about the third and lowest type of
third and lowest are involved with biological agents. It's part of an operation with both chemicals and biological agents. And I'd like to refer to these not as chemtrails, but as biotrails.
Okay.
He's releasing biological agents. And all kinds of countries are into this now, so it's not just a few countries. Iran and Syria have advanced third-generation biological weapons research with the last 18 years with Russian and Soviet scientists that were starving after Glasnost and Perestroika, and they hired them to take over their projects and develop advanced biological weapons for asymmetric warfare against the West if they were attacked by Israel and America, which Unfortunately, the current Obama administration, the liars that they are doing a war game in Georgia right now with 16 NATO countries, with the Russians down at the Rokai Tunnel protecting two breakoff republics. And the Georgian airport is being prepared another for an air campaign to attack Iran from the north, probably as early as June when they do their full national war game simulation in Israel.
Okay.
So they have 1,250-plus targets with nuclear weapons, bunker busters, and they plan to vaporize the reactor core of the Bashar reactor. That's only 75 miles from roughly, you know, 75 miles roughly from Tehran.
Okay.
A city of the size of New York City.
What countries are left? You know, who's still on the outside that, you know, hasn't accepted the New World Order? Is that kind of the line that's being drawn?
Well, the only countries that haven't are, if you want to call these breakoff groups like the citizens, I wouldn't call them the Taliban, because the Taliban, actually, if you actually know what it means, one of the terms that was called the Taliban by the CIA, which meant the database, but the actual Arabic conversion of the term Taliban is the little toilet.
I didn't know that.
I don't think the little toilet is going to get us.
It's
all ticked off citizens that have been hit with predator drones and wedding parties blown to bits. And oops, we killed another bunch of citizens. We heard Hillary, I call her Hitlery Clinton, apologizing for another wedding party probably blown to bits by another predator drone. And the citizens are rising up. And, of course, the Pashtun, which is the remnants of Genghis Khan's army, have never been defeated in over 1,000 years. So I don't think it's likely to happen soon.
Okay. And what about, say, Venezuela with the oil wealth? Do you think that would... I mean, there's certainly, you know, there's been the coup a while back, and apparently different assassination attempts. They've still got to be on.
Well, the CIA flew Hugo Chavez around, but the fact is that Venezuela's been making lots of connections with Russia and Chinese. There's divisions of Chinese army doing operations and war games inside Venezuela right now. What I've heard is up to 5 divisions, and they also have medium-range nuclear missile silos in Venezuela aimed at North America.
Okay, so it's a new Cold War.
Yeah, it is. And the fact is, we're not just dealing with them there. They're doing operations inside Mexico and in Panama that's now under the control of the Chinese, as well as the Villa Cardenas superport, and all the superhighways in Mexico are built by the Chinese and with Chinese money. And they have control of all of the shipping ports there as well. They're involved directly with the Canadian government developing the superport in Prince Rupert, which is 2 ocean days closer than the ports of Long Beach, California.
There you go.
On the Pacific coast. So they want to have that be their primary entry point to North American goods coming from Asia.
I understand that this NAFTA superhighway goes up to Winnipeg, and then there's another line that follows north to the Inland Sea there.
That's right. And, in fact, the largest single shareholder in that super railway system, which is the Canadian National Railway East-West, and the North South Burlington Northern Railway System, is none other than Mr. Gates.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's the single largest shareholder, which is, I think he's got something like 5% of the shares, but it's more than any other single shareholder.
Wow. Well, I guess you got to do something with that money.
Yeah, he's got to give 52 grants for food that will actually vaccinate you and mosquitoes that can fly around and vaccinate you or other strange projects. Invest money in the Sakhalin Island inside the Arctic Circle on a granite island at 600 feet above sea level, a giant seed vault for the doomsday.
Yeah.
And this is not conspiracy theory. People could even look at the picture of the vault inside of the mountain there that he and several other globalists have paid for with their own cash.
Yeah. And here are, you know, certainly the Canadian, well, and the American government, you know, to corporations like Monsanto, you know, I mean, they're working hand in hand in, you know, basically eradicating anything natural. And
Well, that's, I call it Mount Satan. Mount Satan. Mount Satan is trying to basically make natural life a thing of the past. And, of course, at the same time, these companies are sticking away in the vault of heritage seeds. So after they've eliminated us by destroying our food and destroying our minds, they want to turn the earth back into a garden.
Wow. Let's let's switch over
to... As I say, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I am an agenda analyst.
Okay. Now, I've been interested in UFOs and ETs just most recently. And, of course, there's the Star Wars program in which, you know, the government is pointing, you know, wanting to put really expensive weapons pointing out.
Yeah, you're talking about, do you want to know about all the space projects? I work for U.S. Space Command Strategic Defense and Star Wars.
Absolutely. If you can give me some insight into that, because that's...
Well, the first day that I was actually brought in on July 10th, 1994, to U.S. Space Command headquarters underground, about a mile and a half down inside Falcon, Colorado, Schriever Air Force Base in their giant underground city, the head of U.S. Space Command came up and said, here's a come-to-Jesus talk. And I said, what the heck is going to happen now? And what he said was, you need to know, we control every cubic centimeter of space between here and Mars. I said, no, you mean here and the moon. And, of course, he snapped back at me like, you know, watch it, buddy.
Okay.
And I said, what do you mean? He said, we control every cubic centimeter of space between here and Mars. We have a mining operation in the city on the moon. We have a colony on Mars. We have sublight and other vehicles. We have the Earth ringed with space-based platforms with our weapon systems. And as I say, if you have questions about anything that happens down here, just come to me and we'll give you full disclosure so you don't freak out when you find out from all the people working on these black op projects so that you can be fully appraised as to what's going on.
Now, this seems to be the big daddy of them all. You know, I mean, 9/11 was kind of the first eye-opener to, you know, so many people within this, you know, truth and peace movement. But a lot of people are saying, well, what else is down the rabbit hole?
Well, you know, have you ever heard of the Society of the Bell? I mean, the Nazis continued all the research both in the so-called Soviet Union and in America with teams of collaborating German and then later American and Russian scientists who picked up these projects.
No, I'm a little bit familiar with that, yeah.
Yeah, and it, not only that, the Human Genome Project was completely paralleled in the Moscow Institute for Biological Research with the human projects here in America and Canada. So the space projects, heavy anti-gravitonics, you know, above light technology, all kinds of things, zero point energy, all of these things have been developed going back for many, many years, and they're far, far ahead of what people think they have.
Yeah, that, yeah, that
and
there's
been a higher level of collaboration at the same time. There's been proxy wars for decades. You know, there's been collaboration on these projects, including the Super Soldier program, genetically engineering, and playing around with all kinds of strange technologies.
It almost sounds as if what's happening is they're preparing towards a global totalitarian state similar to 1984.
Right, they want a scientific dictatorship.
And then in hopes of moving into Brave New World.
Right, well, what they have to do is they have to engineer people to believe their version of reality so it becomes reality. Because, remember, we're co-creators of our own future, and we're not shoved along a timeline. We're kind of convinced of it. And if we decided not, like I like the title of your radio program, if we decided not to become bound and be sold as chattel or cattle, and I understand your program is called Unbought and Unbossed.
That's right.
And it's good for Canadians and Americans and anybody listening to the show around the world to not be victims. And I'm transcending religion. I call it realized going on to spirituality. We're not just a biological machine. We're an advanced super being that exists in a higher dimensional plane. We have a physical body in this plane of existence. We're connected to each other and other life forms, just like the natives have always known. And we're also responsible as an advanced sentient being to ourselves, to each other, to our world. And also as we advance and start to stretch across the stars at sub and above light speeds, folding space-time, to be responsible so when we interact with advanced cultures, we're not considered beasts and something that needs to be quarantined.
Mm-hmm. Something very popular among, I guess, kind of the New Agey community is the 2012 prophecies of various indigenous societies.
Yeah, well, the reason why they do that is because of the grand alignment with the center of the galaxy and the Great Dark Rift, which we're already approaching and having Earth changes. And as I've stated just last week on the Project Camelot, there's going to be some major Earth changes start to happen this month and into August, where the volcanism at the bottom of the interoceanic trenches is going to change the oceanic current flows in our world climate. And we're also looking at some major Earth changes that are going to increase the chances of famine that is aggravated by the economic chaos that's caused by them turning the banking system into a casino
Yeah.
And then bailing out the bankers who should be going to jail,
yeah,
and destroying farmers, taking people's homes and destroying their jobs, and then mortgaging the future by putting further debt on the backs of the public.
Yeah, it's certainly taking the money from below and siphoning it up the pyramid.
Yeah, what it is it's monetizing the world debt, and the special drawing right that they paid to Mexico during this flu pandemic that's happened is basically what the... wanted to do. They want to basically go to a world currency and a world banking structure, and really the governments will have no more sovereignty over their credit and control of their cash, so it'll be a group of bankers that set the policies for the world, including owning all the assets, turning the world into a feudal state, and deciding on who's going to live and who's going to die, who's going to be genetically and cybernetically enhanced and who's not.
Hmm. Wow, what a fantastic idea. You know, and it's so removed from anything you might hear on, you know, your traditional corporate media.
Traditional corporate media are brain dead. Mm-hmm. And I consider ignorance as a form of pre-suicide. And being ignorant is to say, if knowledge is power, then lies, as I say, if the truth will set you free, lies will enslave you. Well, knowledge is power, and ignorance is weakness.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah, we're certainly seeing that now. But again, a lot of people are waking up. You know, newspapers are certainly suffering right now. There's never been more distrust, you know, by the average person. So, I mean, do we have something going here, or are they just going to turn around and shut the internet off?
Well, so fast. There's an old story in down the bayou in Louisiana. If you throw a bunch of frogs in a bucket and you warm the bucket up real slow, frogs will just sit there and think, boy, this is nice warm water. I like it.
Yeah.
And the frogs will sit right there while they're getting cooked alive. The problem is the New World Order are deciding to warm the bucket up too fast.
Mm.
And we're not really stupid frogs, but we're not real smart either overall.
Yeah.
I happen to be an above average frog with a bad attitude. And the more they push, the harder I push back. They're going to push with 1 ton force, I'm going to push back with 10 tons.
All right, nice.
And people say, Dr. Deagle, do you ever get death threats? I said, not likely. If they threaten me once, they won't threaten me twice.
Huh. Okay.
If you know what I mean. People need to have that kind of an attitude, whether they talk about forced vaccinations in Canada, the U.S., taking people's property under martial law.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the dissolution of boundaries, so there's no more Canada or United States. You lose all your constitutional rights. In Canada, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. In America, the Constitution. You lose all your habeas corpus, and you can be renditioned for the stupidest excuses in violations of a zillion petty laws so that you can have your rights stripped and then be put into a permanent prison with all your assets taken. For example, they've already passed laws that if they have a state of national emergency where they deem that there's going to be forced vaccinations at gunpoint, if you refuse them, you immediately have all of your property, including right down to your cell phone, seized, and you're thrown in a civil detention camp at gunpoint. And the same thing in Canada. There's 32 states that have passed those laws called the Model State Health Power Act laws.
Okay.
And every province in Canada, and only all you need is a premier and a quorum of two ministers in order to declare martial law for the least excuses.
Hmm.
And forced vaccination or forced drugging or quarantine under at gunpoint of any citizen in Canada. That's the facts.
Well, that I don't doubt that, because in Medicine Hat right now, or maybe it's Lethbridge, I think it's Medicine Hat, the Army is practicing, they say that it's what they're going to be doing in Afghanistan shortly, and they're practicing creating a lockdown of parts of Medicine Hat.
Yeah, they practice it because they want to. And remember now, this is a made-for-TV miniseries. They can't control a vast country like Canada, but they can control a few areas and then try to scare the rest of us into believe, look what happened to this sheep. Down in Medicine Hat, they put them into a lockdown. And you're thinking, my gosh, I'm in Saskatoon, or I'm in Calgary, or I'm in Toronto, or North Bay, Ontario. Gee, we better behave, or they'll Medicine Hat us. You know, and people need to grow up and realize, don't give in your guns, don't let them get away with it, and call these politicians in on the mat, call them up and say, look, you people aren't using any common sense. They're not doing any tracking of people that fly in from these countries. They're not doing proper biological release. And I'm talking about release of the data on the virus to all scientists, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
They're not putting out the information correctly, and as a result, they're putting everybody in jeopardy. And whether the virus emerges in Central or South America or a recombination happens on a pig farm.
Right.
When somebody like the person in Alberta infected his pigs, that could have caused a recombinant there. So the next major virus could have cut him out of Alberta.
You mentioned vaccinations once or twice tonight, and I was under the mind that if I never get a flu shot or a vaccination from the state, all the better for me.
Well, I think the only safe vaccine is one that stays in the bottle.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if it stays inside the bottle and it never gets inside your bloodstream or your tissues, it's probably still safe.
Okay.
If you get my dry humor. Basically, first, the thesis of vaccines is that, as Dr. Tim O'Shea, who's been on my program, and I've endorsed his 13th edition of his book, The Sanctity of Blood, vaccination is not immunization. There's a difference. To vaccinate, you take fragments of a pathogen and you induce an immune response to create a titer or condition of antibodies. Nowhere have they proven that antibodies kill anything. I consider it bug catch-up against any pathogen. You have to have active T cells and a T cell clone that multiplies, that it will find, seek, and destroy a pathogen using superoxide anion radical and other free radicals. And if it doesn't have that capacity, you do not have a capacity to kill a pathogen. And no virus has ever, or vaccine has ever been done in animals or humans where they proved a T-cell clone line was generated by an artificial partial pathogen fragment injected to create a titer that would produce a protection against a primary infection or a secondary. And I challenge doctors who think they're specialists in this. I've done immunotoxicology and research in this for over 30 years, and I can tell you they cannot do it because there's no data. They've never done the experiments or the testing, ever, on any virus, on any vaccine, in animals or human, ever, on the planet.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I get people who try to say, I say, okay, show me the data. Show me where you had a way of marking T cells, and those T cells specifically would kill a certain pathogen, and those patients who had these T cells in their body, after you proved that they were there, would prevent a primary infection or rescue them from a secondary so they wouldn't die.
Okay.
They can't prove it because it's not there.
Right.
As I say, the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah.
And he has a very hairy behind.
We're running.
And with that, I've got to run too.
Yes, that's right.
I hope that people will visit NutraMedical.com on my show. It's 12 to 3 Monday to Friday. That's a NutraMedical report. They can go to NutraMedical.com, and my other website is Clay and Iron. That's N-U-T-R-I, like nutrition, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com. The other is clayandiron.com. And by the way, all of the shows, all the archives, all the podcasts, everything is free. You can log on there. You can search the entire database. You can go to helpful links. It's a mountain of information. So anybody who disagrees, call into the show.
Very nice.
Come into my cage match.
Okay. Well, I too archive my shows, and I'll put links to, certainly your websites and your radio show.
Absolutely. You guys are doing a great job there in Canada. As I say, it's good to see that the Canadians are going to be unbought and unbossed.
Nice. Very nice.
Take care.
Okay, my friend. Thanks for coming on the short notice.
You're welcome.
Take care, partner.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Okay, how was that? That was a shitload of information is what that was. Is your head spinning? Is your head spinning? Well, let's see. That was Dr. Bill Deagle, a whistleblowing physician. And, he's got a long resume, real long resume. It might take a couple of pages. This fellow's been involved in quite a few different things. And it seems that he has a lot of persons that trust what he says, and likewise a lot of critics. However, one of the things that you will come across if you look up Bill Deagle is that not too much of what he said can be proved incorrect. And that's always make you go, so well done to Dr. Bill Deagle with NutraMedical.com, and that's the name of his radio show as well, which is on the Genesis Communications Network, GCNLive.com, from 12 to 3, Monday through Friday. There you go. So what we're going to do shortly, I'm going to be getting on Michael Fullerton onto the air, and he is the webmaster of Canada's newest 9/11 Truth Group. They are out of Vernon. So, I've got a couple ads I'm going to play for you, and then maybe we'll hear a song, and I'm going to chill out for a minute and try to digest some of that conversation. So, but maybe you need to hear that a second time, and let me run a commercial for myself. I do indeed archive these shows. I record them and put them on the Internet, as well as list the topics and the different persons and audio pieces and things that I read from and so on and so forth. Everything that you hear on each show, you can usually find links to it. So if you choose to do that, to listen to previous shows, you can visit, this is my website, unbossed.livejournal.com. That's unbossed.livejournal.com. So there we are. And, of course, you are listening to CHLY. We're at 101.7 FM. Online, we're at chly.ca. You can listen live streaming from anywhere that the triple W's take you. So let's play a couple things, and I'll get back to you. More than likely, next time you hear from me, we will have Michael Fullerton, a new 9/11 truth activist, on the air with me.
Oops. Gordon Campbell and the BC Liberals will tell you they know what's best for British Columbia. Since being elected, Gordon Campbell has more than doubled tuition fees at colleges and universities. His government eliminated the grant program that gave assistance to the neediest students. Gordon Campbell and the Liberal ministers increased their own wages by nearly 30% while keeping minimum wage workers living below the poverty line. The BC Liberals have closed schools, hospitals, and limited the services citizens count on, using the savings to cut millions of dollars in taxes for corporations and the wealthiest British Columbians. Is this what's best for your family? In this BC election, you have a choice. Think about your priorities. Read about the record of government and the options available. Vote on May 12th.
Authorized by Vancouver Island University Students Union. Registered sponsor under the Election Act.
754-8866. Oh, such a clever little fellow. Oh, he's such a clever little fellow. Look, he found 101.7 FM, Chilly Radio, all by himself. Such a clever little fellow.
Hey, very nice, very nice. That's one of my favorites, Bruce Cockburn. I meant to email his people today and invite him on the show, and I have a feeling it's going to happen. But we'll find out. So that was his latest record. What the heck? It's called Slice O' Life, live solo, and that was If I Had a Rocket Launcher. So as I promised, I would like to welcome to the phone now a member of Canada's newest 9/11 Truth Group. This is from Vernon, B.C. Michael Fullerton, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and welcome, and thanks for, making a stand and, pointing out the obvious that, 9/11 is certainly not what we've been told by the government and the media.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. Your website is vernon911truth.org, and I was telling our listeners earlier in the hour that it's a rather simple front page with four very, very telling photos that, in my opinion, prove that the official story, is incorrect. Do you want to quickly tell us a little bit about those pictures and why you chose those?
Well, I just wanted to think of, I just wanted to expose, the four... the biggest events that kind of just really don't make sense. First of all, you look at Building 7. It wasn't hit by a plane, and yet it's falling down at free fall speed.
Yeah.
You look at it, it looks just like a controlled demolition of other buildings you've seen collapsing. And then you move on to, the Pentagon, and, the damage to the building, it just doesn't match up with the plane itself. There's no damage from the tail section, the indestructible titanium engines. There's no damage from the engines.
Yeah, there's a little bit of something, but it's certainly not a big jumbo, Airbus.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And
likewise, you've got a picture of Shanksville.
Right.
Now, that, to me, is the most peculiar. That's Flight 93, and I'm going to guess that if the plane didn't go down, perhaps it was taken to an airport. Something went down there because, you know, there's parts of an engine found, you know, numerous miles away, and yet there's this peculiar hole that, you know, certainly a large plane, again, did not get sucked into this quicksand and, you know, leave no evidence. That one is really peculiar. Any thoughts on that? Do you have...
Oh, yeah, that's a big problem. I mean, first of all, that hole, like if you look on Google Earth from previous years, that hole was there before.
Oh.
You know? I mean, that's crazy what they're trying to do there. And yeah, and there's no pieces of the plane there.
Yeah.
You know, just a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the debris is spread out over a field, I think you said a mile away, and that's consistent with the plane being shot down.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you know, something went down, but it didn't go down there.
Right, right.
You know, so maybe it happened the next field over. You know, they cordoned off that area pretty quick, apparently.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and then, of course, the fourth picture is of the first Twin Tower being exploded.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's odd because, you know, you'll see the pulverized concrete exploding out the hinge side where, you know, you'd think that would be blocked because that's where... it's supposed to be anchored.
Yeah.
You know? Very strange.
Yeah, it's more than strange. It's, you know, it's strange for a gazillion reasons is, you know, what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still so frustrating, you know, when the talking puppets on TV, you know, they, well, of course, that's the way everything always happens. You know, they just defend it, and they sound so silly, and I don't know how they sleep at night myself, but, you know, I guess they got a bigger... they get a bigger paycheck than I get, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Could be.
Yeah, yeah. When we first started hooking up, you suggested that you were really interested in the mindset that this one world order mentality, these gangster banksters, what type of mindset must they have to, you know, consciously work to imprison the human race, you know, create this totalitarian fascist dictatorship, you know, dressed up as, well, you know, working for us, you know, when, of course, they're doing pretty much the opposite. So that's something that sounds like you've been thinking about for a number of years.
Right. Yeah, I have a background in psychology, and one of the things I'm very fascinated about is the area of psychopathy or psychopaths.
Okay.
And, you know, the defining characteristic of a psychopath is they have no conscience whatsoever.
Yeah.
There's no ethics, no morality, no empathy.
No empathy, right.
Now you'll see, actually, this is something that's common to a lot of different areas of political activism, you know. Like, there are all these things, like 9/11, depleted uranium, all these other things. I mean, it looks like they're done by the same kind of people.
Mm-hmm, okay.
You know, they have these same characteristics. And if you look at the characteristics, some of the other characteristics, like they have a lust for power, they need power, they are pathological liars, they're often very charismatic, masters of manipulation, and they have a kind of a glibness, like, you know, smooth talker. And, you know, this just sounds like politicians, right?
Were they maybe born that way, or were they taught, you know, were their heroes the bad guys in the movies? I mean, how did this come about?
Well, psychopathy is generally seen as a genetic disorder.
Okay.
So it's not something that's learned, really.
All right.
It's something that you're born with. Now, like some of the psychopaths end up being, like, there's actually three types. And this is coming from Dr. Robert Hare. He's actually a professor at UBC, a world expert in psychopathy.
Okay.
And he distinguishes three types. There's a thug, which is kind of very violent and often not very intelligent. And they're the ones that tend to go to prison for, you know, violent crimes like murder and rape, that sort of thing.
Sure, okay.
And then you'll have, like, the con man. Used car salesman, you know, sleazy used car salesman,
mm-hmm.
White-collar criminal, and they will sometimes go to prison as well. But the third type is what he calls a puppet master.
Okay.
And they're, like, the worst type. You know, they can
they get into an organization, like a political organization or a business, they'll just rise right to the top and basically run things into the ground.
Yeah. Cutthroat.
Oh, yeah. They're all ruthless, cutthroat people.
Yeah. Now, you sometimes hear the suggestion that, to be a politician or to work your way up the corporate ladder, that you need to have that, I guess, kind of a separation of, well, you have to be a little bit different. You have to be willing to, I don't know, I guess, sacrifice your morals, or maybe you don't really have them. I don't know. Does it seem more likely that, the politicians and the business people are this third character or the second character?
Well, I mean, the most successful would be, like, the puppet master type. The con men will often get found out and, imprisoned or fined or whatever, or fired, basically.
Okay.
But, yeah, the puppet master, I mean, they will go right to the top and basically run things.
Yeah. Well, it seems that this is a global phenomenon. There's always, the wealthy elite class in every society, as far as I'm aware. So could it be that, do we have a percentage numbers that, maybe 1% or 10%, or are there numbers that we can put to these different breakdowns?
Right. It's generally considered there's about 4% of the population is a psychopath.
Huh.
So that's fairly large. I mean, 1 in 25 people, that is fairly large. And only a small percentage actually end up in prison.
Okay.
So what are these other psychopaths doing? They're out in society amongst us.
Right.
And as I said, they crave power, so, they're gonna be attracted to all these different positions of power.
Okay. Where else? To slightly change the conversation, you're saying that also the mentality of what it would take to take part, to torture people or to invade another country, at gunpoint, like our Canadian brothers and sisters are doing right now. Now, I don't think that they would be psychopaths, but what state of mind puts, where regular nice people could all of a sudden be, carrying a gun and shooting at people they don't even know for reasons that, they don't even know.
Well, like in the case of like the military, if you look at the training that goes on, they're actually kind of like a brainwashing that takes place. So, in order for normal people with a conscience to kill somebody, like they need to be programmed to see that enemy as non-human.
Okay.
So that's kind of like a programming type thing.
Right. Also, what is it called? Groupthink, as well, I think, plays a role in this, where, kind of mob rule seems to be the most popular. When yahoos get together at, riots, let's say, and just pretend that it's not all agent provocateurs, that there are genuinely, idiots that cause problems, right?
No, that's definitely true. And, one of the things Dr. Hare talks about is a sociopath. He defines that differently than a psychopath. So a sociopath is kind of like what you're talking about. They kind of conform to a psychopathic environment. So they're, a person is thrust into a psychopathic environment, and they're just kind of going along with these terrible actions just because they're part of the group.
Mm-hmm. My father was a Marine, and he's told me some stories on how as a new recruit, he basically had to be stripped, and that the Marine Corps became, his new mother, new everything. And, and it's really quite frightening, and it's, very effective, and he acknowledges that, yeah, he was being, brainwashed.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess that's what happens in the military. I don't know. I've never been in the military. Have you?
No. But, and one thing, when normal people go into the military and they do some terrible things, a lot of them just can't handle it. And they have a break with reality. They have what's called post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
Because, they just can't handle these terrible things that they're seeing. and sometimes being forced to participate in.
Right. Well, that leads to a lot of suicides. I guess the suicide level, at least in stateside, is, you know, larger than ever for returning military persons.
Right, right. And I'm sure they're seeing some really terrible things. I mean, with depleted uranium they're using now, and it's really a bad state of affairs.
That's right. These soldiers can bring home their contaminated self and pass it on to their loved ones.
Right.
What a frightening... What a frightening situation we're in, Michael.
Right, it is.
How did you wake up to 9/11? What was, how did that story happen?
Actually, a couple of years ago, I got into it, and you know, at that time, I kind of hate to admit it, but at that time, if someone told me that 9/11 was perpetrated by elements of the U.S. government, I would have kind of laughed at them.
Okay, okay.
You know, I'm kind of a conservative, skeptical type person.
Sure.
But about 2 years ago, I was kind of bored and I was searching around the internet for some kind of science documentaries, and I came across a movie called Zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I watched that and I was really kind of freaked out. Like, I couldn't believe that, you know, the U.S. government might be involved in 9/11. And I just started kind of researching, and I came across some debunking sites, and that kind of convinced me that maybe it wasn't true.
Okay.
So I had a couple of months off where I just kind of denied it.
Okay.
But I went back and looked for some more movies, and I came across Loose Change.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of really got me to think, and I started really researching, and from that point, you know, I just knew there was something wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you spend a certain amount of time, And you're going to realize pretty quickly that, you know, there's too many holes in the story to accept it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and then, of course, the more you look, the more holes there are. And, after maybe 5 years of studying it myself, I don't know if there's anything true in the official story, as a matter of fact, you know?
Right, I can't really think of anything that really makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Again, earlier in our discussions prior to the interview tonight, the possibility of a similar show, a truth show, perhaps might be in the works for Vernon. Is that? Can you tell us anything about that, or is that still a possibility?
Well, it's possible. We still haven't got the radio station up and running yet. I'm not really sure how that's going. There's a meeting later this month, I believe, and maybe we'll get a better idea of how that's going to go. But you know, it's just something that might happen in the future. It's not something that has a definite plan yet.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I sure would like to see others, doing their thing and, you know, either putting on the internet or the airwaves, what have you. Actually, this would be a good time to congratulate Edmonton. Edmonton 9/11 Truth, they just had their second little mini-conference. What was that, May 2nd? They had Barry Zwicker, who was on my show, I guess, a week before that. And, boy, was that was a really popular interview. It was one of the best, very impressive. If you don't know Barry Zwicker, certainly worth hearing that interview. And they also had Bruce Sinclair, who stood in last minute for Robert Balsamo. Both of these gentlemen are with Pilots for 9/11 Truth. And I'm hoping to have Bruce Sinclair on the show in 2 weeks from now. So, anyways, well done, Edmonton, with their thing. And what made me think of Edmonton is that they do something called Speaker's Corner. I don't know if you've seen any of those. If you haven't, Michael, certainly visit Edmonton 9/11 Truth. And they get out with a video camera and talk to regular people and, you know, just give them the chance to talk, you know. And so these get posted on YouTube. And, I play them fairly often on this show. For example, I've got one of a street poet. I don't think we're going to get to it tonight. It's Ryan V, and a political street poet. And just, you know, you never know what you're going to find. You know, I mean, there's so many awake people out there that we need to be reminded of that, it seems. So maybe I can lead this into a question. How is it for you in your area, Vernon, of, I guess, kind of passing on what you've learned about 9/11 to others? Is that something that your group strives to do?
Oh, that's definitely something we're trying to do. It seems a little bit difficult to reach a lot of people. Like a big problem is the media here just doesn't seem very interested in anything relating to this.
Right.
So
right.
Just kind of grassroots type things. I actually work with another fellow here called, his name is Darren Seymour. He ends up handing out DVDs, and he finds out that the 9/11 DVDs do quite well.
Okay.
As opposed to other kinds of, truth-related DVDs. So
okay.
That seems to be going well there.
Sure. Well, that was how you, it sounds like that's how you kind of woke up, was through different documentaries.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, it's very popular now. Certainly, television, we've been brought up on it, and that so many people seem to learn best when they're sitting in front of, that idiot box.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, sometimes it's it's good information on it.
Right.
Let's see, where do we want to go now? I don't know if I cut you off earlier on what you were talking about. Is there something that you want to jump back into?
Well, I wouldn't mind talking a bit more about psychopaths and how they work.
Okay, please do, yeah.
Because it kind of ties in with what you see happening in the 9/11 movement. Like, for example, psychopaths, they use, to maintain their position of power, they use things like disinformation, and they use strategies like divide and conquer.
Okay.
So, with disinformation, it's like rumor or just spreading lies to poison the minds of people against their enemies.
Okay.
And with disinformation, the best kinds of disinformation is when you have a lie that's combined with half truths.
Mm.
And there's a really interesting idea I read about recently where 9/11 official story started out with using these memes, what are called memes. And a meme is basically a thought or idea virus.
Yeah.
And if you notice, a lot of documentaries, they kind of touch on this, where immediately after the events, you saw these so-called experts that were stating these facts. Like if you remember the Harley guy, the fellow that was talking about the structural failure immediately after.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
Right. So that would be an example of one of these thought viruses that kind of get picked up and people latch on to them, basically.
Right, right. Now, kind of like Osama bin Laden, that was, within an hour, that was the guilty party, and, it carried on and on and on. Would that be a good example of a meme? Now, it's M-E-N-E, is that that's how you...
It's actually M-E-M-E, right.
Okay, right.
Yeah, that's a very good example. Osama bin Laden, they chose him as the culprit immediately.
Yeah.
And, that's they started their story immediately. And how could they do that? I mean, how could they get the evidence so quickly?
Yeah. Actually, that's funny. That was my first awakening to knowing that there was a problem. I believe it was 3 days after they announced the 19 Arab hijackers and had their names and photos. And I thought, well, wait a second. How is it that you could know everyone who was involved in this, and yet 3 days earlier you knew absolutely nothing about, that was it for me. It's like, wait a second. And then, of course, it carried on, and, I found more problems there. But, yeah, good point.
Right, and that's an interesting, leads to an interesting point as well, where, they find, their passports, the plane smashes into a building, explodes into a fireball, but the passport survived somehow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Indeed, and, out came the rhetoric immediately, either you're for us or you're against us, was Bush's threat to the planet. As far as, most every country fell into line, certainly Canada, and, Canada actually had a role in it, being part of NORAD. Canada had to close their eyes in a lot of areas militarily to, let 9/11 happen the way it did.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And another thing I'd like to touch on is torture itself, the torture that they're using. And if you look into that, like often the argument they're trying to make is that torture is used to, to get at new information.
Okay.
But that's not really true. Like, when you torture someone, they're just going to tell you whatever they can to try to get you to stop the torture.
Yeah, yeah.
So what you're really getting there is not information, but misinformation.
Yeah.
And when you knowingly distribute misinformation, that's disinformation or propaganda. So really what torture is used for is not to get intelligence, it's to get propaganda.
Okay.
And you'll notice they use that propaganda to invade Iraq.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Good point. Yeah. You twist my arm hard enough, and I'll tell you whatever you want.
Exactly. Right.
Tough call. I imagine that coming through torture, that would certainly leave a lasting. Splitting the sky. John Bodcor has been on the show a couple times, and the stories he told about being a First Nations person in prisons in New York State. Getting the shit beat out of them, you know, fairly often, as well as being locked in confinement, you know, that those different forms of psychological torture as well as physical torture.
Right, exactly,
are very prevalent, you know, that basically our prison system is a form of psychological torture, you know, if not physical torture.
Yeah, you could certainly say that. That's true.
Hmm.
Hopefully it's gotten a bit better since his day. I mean, I saw the interview. It was quite horrific what he described.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Let me see. Where can we go from here? Well, I'll tell our listeners that we're speaking with Michael Fullerton of Vernon 911 Truth. Very nice. Too bad you weren't in the 911 community a couple of years ago. They had a fantastic conference in Vancouver with, maybe 15, fairly big scholars and lecturers. And Bill Deagle was one of those. That was a hell of a conference. And Edmonton's been doing something. Anything in your neck of the woods? Now, of course, Calgary, they've had the war criminals visiting there. I guess Condoleezza Rice is coming in next week. Yeah, so let me see. What other truth groups are in your neighborhood? There's one in the Kootenays, I believe. Yeah.
Well, here in Vernon, we have another one called Our World Community.
Okay.
Or votetoday.ca. And again, that's Darren Seymour that's running that.
Oh, okay, nice.
And he ran for the CAP party last year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he's a pretty cool guy.
Nice. CAP doesn't seem to be making a whole lot of noise right now, unfortunately.
Right. I'm not too sure what how they're doing, but
which is really unfortunate because they're the only federal Canadian political party that is talking about the problems of having a central bank owned by private people, and the 9/11 lie and this bogus war on terror. it's really unfortunate the this breed of politicians that we have, which as we were talking about earlier. might have been born with a slightly different makeup, is what you were saying.
Right. It is unfortunate. I mean, you'd hope that people would kind of wake up to the reality of how things are really happening and try to do something about it, like supporting the CAP party.
Yeah. 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 We've got a referendum coming up, as I'm sure you're aware, on the single transferable vote. Have you been following? Is that something that you're promoting or?
No, unfortunately, I haven't really been following that.
Okay.
Been quite busy with other things.
Sure. Sure. Myself, I'm personally going to vote in favor of it. The way I figure is that, this first past the post system has proven itself to, not be working for the average BC. Person, and that, I would think almost any change would be better than that, and I'm certainly in favor of trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, Michael, where else do we want to go? Is there anything else that's...
Well, I wouldn't mind talking a bit more about disinformation, like some kind of maybe examples. For example, like the tobacco industry, if you recall, they often did they used a huge disinformation campaign by, buying scientists, basically, buying studies that, promoted the idea that tobacco was not a harmful substance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a blatant example of disinformation. Another example would be ExxonMobil, where they did a kind of a similar thing to show that global warming was a myth.
Okay, right, yeah.
They bought up a lot of scientists and a lot of studies to show that it really wasn't, causing a problem, the increased CO2 levels.
Right, yeah, the pollution that the oil industry creates.
Right. And again, that it kind of ties in with the divide and conquer strategy, because, if you have a group that's kind of an obstacle to you, it's an obstacle to your power. You want to divide them up into smaller groups and have them fighting against each other. And you often see that in various truth movements. Like you can see that now with the 9/11 movement. There's a lot of different groups that are kind of arguing amongst themselves.
Yeah, certainly there's a lot of infighting. Yeah.
And what we really need to do is kind of get some common ground and start working together on certain key points.
Yeah.
And to me, that would be, we need to look at the facts more as opposed to, engaging in speculation so much.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the facts and try to get them answered from a proper investigation. And I think that's, that should be a strong drive of what we're trying to accomplish in this movement.
Mm-hmm. On a larger scale, divide and conquer, I see that through our media, which I find that there's many examples of our governments and the corporate leaders telling us that, we really can't trust our neighbors anymore. And, you better be careful. You better watch everyone, because there's a lot of thieves out there. Don't let your credit card get stolen. Just all these different examples when, in most cases, it's the corporations that we have to fear themselves, and their, nasty end game, as opposed to, our neighbor, who we should be banding together with. And instead, we're being divided and conquered at this, in hand.
No, that's a very excellent point. Yes, that's absolutely what's happening, and the media itself is using, fear as kind of a weapon to control us.
Yeah.
Whereas we kind of need to, just kind of not worry so much and just focus on solving these terrible problems. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think one way to solve a lot of problems would be to force politicians to start a campaign of, screening for psychopathy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can prevent these leaders from, or these psychopaths from becoming leaders, our world's going to be a lot better place.
Interesting. I think that's the first time I've heard that suggested, and I think that's a fantastic idea.
But it's going to be difficult if the leaders are controlling, the leaders are psychopathic and, they're controlling us, so they won't want that to happen.
Yeah, yeah, if the fox is ruling the hen house,
Yeah.
interesting, yeah, that's a neat solution. I like that. Okay, what are your thoughts? Now, did you catch the first hour with Bill Deagle?
Yes, I did. I watched, yes.
Yeah, we're sort of mostly talking about this swine flu problem, and I was quite frightened by what he had to say, that it seems that there has been a hand of the laboratories tweaking these viruses, and he was suggesting that this winter and in the following years, look out, that this could possibly be a massive population culler, as in culling. That was pretty frightening. I certainly didn't appreciate hearing that. However, this guy carries a lot of respect of, a lot of whistleblowing people. So, wow.
Yeah, and like I think, like you said, I'd be very worried about the vaccinations. I mean, I've read some about that, and you know, they just contain a lot of nasty stuff in those vaccinations. I mean, you don't want to be taking those vaccinations. I mean, they've got mercury in them, I understand.
That's right.
Thimerosal, a preservative, and yeah, it's just terrible.
So again, I'm not suggesting that, you know, the sweet nurse at the health clinic is, you know, is the evil psychopath behind this, but I certainly don't trust, you know, the whole medical system, which, you know, I mean, we have to admit that our, you know, the financial systems, you know, whether it's the medical or the energy systems or the military, you know, they are working so closely with the government. I mean, you know, it's fascism, it's corporatism, you know, it's the money basically dictating what the government is going to do, it seems, and, you know, to, you know, be very general, but that seems to be where it's going.
Right. I mean, you know, money is power, and that's what they're attracted to, is power. So with, you know, with this the flu epidemic scare, it was interesting. I don't know if you're aware of the bird flu. I think that there was a company called Baxter International that was caught, you know, distributing the vaccines with actually live bird flu in them.
Okay.
Are you aware of that?
No, I don't know that story.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it was a huge, huge news here in our group in Vernon.
Okay.
We've been talking about that. So yeah, it was it's a company, Baxter International. They distributed this virus, or this vaccine with the bird flu virus in it, to certain countries. I can't remember exactly what the countries were, but, you know, nothing really happened, and the media didn't really report on it. It's quite disturbing. And that company now is actually working on a vaccine for the swine flu.
Mm.
So that's another disturbing development in that, with that company.
Right, right, I hear you.
And, you know, again, it's, you know, worst case or best case, it's just about money. They're trying to make money off this, to, you know, get the flu out there, and then they're creating the vaccine that they're going to make a lot of money on.
Right, right, yeah. Donald Rumsfeld, the company he was with, had the patent for and the contract, the government contract for I can't remember which
Tamiflu.
There you go. You know, how was that? You know?
Yeah, that's a huge conflict of interest.
Yeah, you betcha. I mean, the whole thing's a conflict of interest. You know, if you look at Cheney, you know, with Halliburton, you know, and they just happen to go into the Middle East oil country, and it's like, oh, man, that's what this guy does for a living, you know, is, it's terrible.
Yeah, the corruption is just unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I need something good to end with. You got some good news for me?
Some good news.
No, that's putting you on the spot, eh?
Gee, well, I've read some things about preventing the flu. Like, apparently, vitamin C is good to help your body combat the flu if
okay.
you get it.
Okay.
Vitamin C, vitamin D. In kind of large concentrations, so that's something maybe everyone can look into.
Right, right. Okay, good. Do you want to list any references or websites that you think listeners would be wise to visit?
Well, I'd like to mention Dr. Harris' website. He's got one website. It's called snakesandsuits.com.
Okay.
And that's an awesome book. I've got some sites here in Vernon, votetoday.ca, that's Darren Seymour's site.
Okay.
And our site, Vernon911truth.org.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I have there.
Nice.
For,
well, okay. If you would send me links to those on email, I will include those on my website to for when I upload this show on the Internet.
That would be awesome. I will send them to you, yes.
Nice. Well, Michael Fullerton, I'd like to thank you for coming on for a chat and talking about, well, psychopaths and And we kind of branched off to a couple different places, and so thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Nice, nice. Well, please stay in touch, and hopefully you can come back and visit again.
Sounds great.
All right. Take care, Michael.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you very much. Okay, there we are. Michael Fullerton of Vernon 911 Truth. Okay, very interesting. Some good news. Boy, talk about putting him on the spot. Sorry about that. That's I should have put Bill Deagle on the spot and said, tell me some good news. Where are we going to go? Okay, this has been an eventful show for me so far. I basically haven't touched my outline, and I've got 50,000 fantastic good news pieces that you missed. Yes, this was the bad news show. I'm kidding about that. So I'm going to put on a song by Klandyken. It's called In Search of Enemies. And then I'm going to do the campus community update. So that's what you have for to look. I said that backwards. You know what I mean? Okay, I'll be back shortly. And here we are, In Search of Enemies. Welcome back to Unbought and Unbossed on CHLY 101.7 FM. That's the song for the campus community updates. So what do we got for you? First off, Denman Island, country home and garden tour. That's on Denman Island. When? May 10th and 11th from 9:30 to 5. Okay, what can I tell you about? It's $15 at Dig This and Long Lake Nursery in Nanaimo. For more ticket outlet info or to reserve, you can call this number. No, I'm going to give you an email address instead. Denman Garden Tour at Gmail. No, that's a... I'm looking for the website. There it is. Okay. DenmanConservancy.org Garden Tour. DenmanConservancy.org. So the description tells us, wander through 10 beautiful and imaginative properties on this popular tour, now in its 18th year. Enjoy the relaxed and creative ambience of this quiet Gulf Island. Yes, indeed. You know, for 18, you guys keep talking about that. It's not going to be so quiet anymore, I wonder. That's, you're showing off your beautiful island, and man, oh man, I wonder how many people are going to come and take you up on it. Okay, one more. This is Super Bowl, as in S-O-U-P, Super Bowl, at the Downtown Plaza by the Library and Credit Union. What was a caller, maybe? I wonder if they have a campus community update. Let's find out. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, Raymond, this is Leandra from Denman Island.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, and I want to thank you for announcing the garden tour, but you announced the wrong date.
Oh, okay. I said, I think, 9th and 10th?
You said 10th and 11th.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
But I know you meant the 9th and 10th because that is the Saturday and Sunday.
Nice.
So
nice.
It's a Mother's Day event, and thank you for promoting it because it's going to be fabulous. All of this rain is going to stop, and the sun is going to shine. It's going to be the most beautiful weekend.
That's right. It is supposed to be nice.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So,
thank you.
Now, are you guys not afraid of having Americans who are fed up with... their system coming up and buying up your island? That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Well, you know, the loveliest people seem to be drawn to this island through the garden tour.
Huh.
We have acquired some fantastic communitarians in our midst because they came to the garden tour and looked around Denman Island and thought, you know, this community and this lifestyle really does appeal to me. So.
Nice.
We're lucky.
Yeah, yeah, it's fabulous. I've lived on a couple of, I've been on Gabe and Quadra. I haven't been on your island, but I'm sure it's just as neat and unique as the others.
Absolutely. Each island has its own magic and mystique and spirit, and each one grabs us in different ways, and This one got us, anyway.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're happy there.
And we love your show, Raymond. We listen to it ardently every Wednesday evening.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. All righty.
Don't be embarrassed. Be proud.
Okay. All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you again, and we'll be enjoying more spring here.
Nice, and I hope that your garden tour is very successful, and you meet a lot of nice people.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Huh. I sometimes say be well. That's interesting. I don't know too many people that say that. Be well. Well, let's get back to the Super Bowl. It's Friday, May 29th, 11:30 to 2 p.m. It's in the afternoon. It is hosted by the Nanaimo Citizens Advocacy Association. The cost is by donation. So let's hear what the brief description says. Acquire a piece of original local pottery and enjoy world-class soup. Take home your bowl and know your donation stays here in the Nanaimo and helps the less fortunate. Okay, so, by donation you get an original piece of pottery. That's your bowl. And I guess they put some soup in it, and I'm sure they've got spoons. So there we are, and the money stays with the Nanaimo Citizen Advocacy. So that's a nice thing. Again, that's May 29th at the Downtown Plaza where the library is from 11:30 to 2 p.m. What are we going to do now? What are we going to... Oh, you know what? Raymond from Drop the Hammer used to have the Musical Equation show. Well, he's only doing the one show. That's the Drop the Hammer. And I believe that's Monday evenings from, 11 to 3, I believe. So if you like your music heavier, visit Drop the Hammer. And for those of you that been listening to Raymond after me, well, there was three Rays in a row, the three shows. Sense of Justice, Unbought and Unbossed, and then Musical Equation, three Rays. That was kind of something, and so now it's just the two. So we are really close to 10 o'clock. What am I going to leave you with? What am I going to leave you with? How about another song? We'll play a Dylan track off his new album. I played a song off the new Bruce Coburn. Let's go to Dylan. And this is Jolene. We're listening to it right now. And Dylan's new album is Together Through Life. So you guys be well, and we'll do it again next week. I've got Kevin Annett. Anyone else? Anyways, be well out there, guys. Jolene.